Hello, Santa Barbara, and everywhere on the internet that is listening. This is Bruce Salen, and welcome to the Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View. If you'd like to call in, and we certainly welcome it, you may call at 805-564-1290 or toll-free at 866-564-1290. You can email questions to Bruce at brucesalen.com. That's Bruce and Salen. That's S like Spider-Man. I just heard there's a new Spider-Man coming up. Toby's been retired. You can follow me on Twitter at Bruce Salen, and you can tweet me during the show. I'm a multitasker. I have my computer here, and I can get those tweets. If you haven't already followed A Dad's Point of View on Facebook, why the heck not? Come on. All right. My producer here is busy trying to make me look pretty with this camera, but I need him to cue up a song, okay? Because we are going to play the James Taylor and Carole King version, rendition of her long ago written wonderful song, Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? The reason being, it's in honor of my wife and my attendance at their last concert on their reunion tour, which we attended two nights ago. And Carole King is 68 years old, and James Taylor is 62. And if you watch them, it gives you a whole different sense of what growing old is all about. It gives me some encouragement that I might still be doing my crazy skiing when I'm in generation. But it was fun, and it was remarkable, and I loved every minute of it. It made me feel extremely old in the sense that I like that kind of music. Music that has a heart, music that has something to say. Singers that perform with, oh gosh, with love and can pronounce every word and you actually understand what they're saying. James Taylor was extraordinary. Carole King was extraordinary. And it was great. I really enjoyed it. And I hope you enjoy the song in the background. I'll give you this trivia question right now, but I'll also give you the answer. Who did do the original version of Will You Still Love Me Tomorrow? Which she then re-recorded 10 years later, when she did Tapestry. The original version was done by, okay, do we have the Jeopardy music? We don't have the Jeopardy music. Okay, it was done by the Shirelles. So that they also did Soldier Boy and a bunch of others. This was all pre-British invasion. And you thought this was a show about parenting. This is really a show all about music. But if you do like music, it will actually be a show all about music during the holiday season, because I am going to be doing a special Christmas show with just Christmas music, and I am somewhat knowledgeable about music, and you will hear versions of classic Christmas songs that you cannot imagine anybody ever did. So I hope you'll tune in, and we'll give you plenty of forewarning about that. Today's topic, as excuse me, every week, is based on my column of the week. And it's my column, of course, appears in the Santa Barbara News Press on Tuesdays on page 2 of the front section with my handsome mug there. The column was called Teenagers Can Be Wonderful, F-U-L-L. It's my contention in this column that we as parents, and most assuredly the media, report only the bad stuff about teens. And granted, there is a lot of bad stuff and a lot of things that parents should be concerned about. But if you ever read an article about a teen or listen to an expert, it tends to be cautionary, worrying about drugs, drinking, driving, sex, all the things that teens do. But like the regular news, I think we're a little bit too obsessed with the things we worry about and not celebrating the good. I often wondered why there wasn't a news show that was actually called Good News. And the old adage in media, of course, is that if it bleeds, it leads. And I still don't want to believe that human nature is developed that way, that they really want to see every murder of the week and every highway chase. But at least the ratings seem to celebrate that and confirm that. I still want to believe in the better part of human nature. And so consequently, I wrote this column. And it was inspired by both my boys doing some pretty positive things recently. And ironically, yesterday, my younger son did two things that just got me, totally got me. He had returned from sleepaway camp, and one of the projects that I had started, which I will share with you, was part of what I do allows me to meet parents and people all over the world, and I met a man who has a school in Ghana, Africa, school for young girls between 7 and 10 years old. And one day I'm on my computer, and one of his kids, one of his actual daughters, starts chatting with me in English, all the way from Ghana, and it was just charming beyond belief. And of course, they're impoverished, but instead of asking for money, what did she ask for in the course of our conversation? She asked for books. They need books. So we are moving in a month, and my boys and I both have many more books, especially my younger son, than we ever need. So I started putting together some books, and I mailed my first two packages. If you'd like to know the mailing information and more about the school, follow me on Facebook. You can find the information there, or just tweet me or email me. Again, bruce@brucesalin.com. S like stupendous. Anyway, my son and I were talking about this, and I had sent two books, and I asked him to prepare, I had sent two boxes, and I asked him to prepare a third box. And so he brought in the box, and I asked him not to seal it. I wanted to see what was in it. I asked him to bring it in to me, and he did, and it was filled with books that he no longer wanted, including some special books, like for him, the first Twilight book. He also collected Archie comics, and he had a bunch of the Archie Digest things. He had a bunch of little toys and an assortment of pens, and we had some hand-cranked flashlights. And he looked at me as we went through it and decided exactly which to send and which wasn't, because it's limited by size, obviously. And he looked up at me and he said something like, "You know, Dad, I really like what you're doing with this. This really is a terrific thing." And you can't replace those moments. That my son not only embraced doing something good back for the world rather than just worrying about when he's getting the next toy or, in his case, he wants the iPad, but to embrace doing something good. And that is what this show is about today. As I said, I think we parents too often focus on the bad. The other thing that I think is relevant and I talk about in the article is what we model is what our kids learn, especially our teenagers. So when I go skiing, I am often talking to parents as they have their kids next to them wearing helmets and the parents are not wearing helmets. And I am known as the helmet Nazi at Mammoth Mountain because it makes me crazy. What do you think you're telling your kids if they have to wear a helmet and you don't? It's the same thing as when you're holding your martini and telling them about the dangers of drinking, or when you're smoking in the backyard some weed thinking they don't know and be upset when you find out that your 15 or 16 or 17-year-old is actually doing the same. Trust me, they see everything you do. They watch everything you do. They know everything you do. So model behavior you want your kids to mimic. The other thing I also believe in this regard, and I have a mantra. I have a bunch of mantras. My favorite mantra is the only thing we control is what we eat for breakfast, but that doesn't really relate to today's topic. But my mantra about raising your kids, especially teenagers, is you have to be their best parent rather than their best friend. When you have teenagers, it is really hard sometimes to stick to that idea. You punish your kids and then you feel sorry for them. And they don't then learn that, number one, you tell the truth. And number one, they don't really learn what real consequences are. For that matter, if they do something wrong, sometimes most parents just will let it go, forgive them, and not let them learn a lesson by suffering some consequences. If you mess up at work and you're more than once, you probably have a consequence with your boss. Real life has consequences. So coddling your teens is not being their best parent. The other thing I believe that is part of the article is support their passions, not yours. As parents, we want our kids to do the things we love. We want them to be our mirrors. Well, the truth is they may have your DNA, but they may not share your same interest. So it's very important to separate the two. Expose them to as much as you can. Certainly expose them to the things you love, but don't hesitate and get past the fact that they may not love your sport, your favorite music, your hobby. Very quickly, the music from last week was, as always, Elvis doing a song, and it was My Way, the TV theme from Bonanza, the ultimate first family. I Walk the Line by Johnny Cash. I've Got You Under My Skin, which I did by mistake 2 weeks in a row by Sinatra. My Heart Belongs to Daddy by the late Marilyn Monroe. Accentuate the Positive by the Jive Aces. Donkashon by Wayne Newton. And What If God Were One of Us by the inimitable Austin Powers. My producer, Richard Dugan, is smiling, but he's also telling me, stop, you're done, out of time, it's time for a break. So be sure to call in if you'd like to at 866-564-1290 or locally at 805-564-1290. This is the Bruce Salin Show, A Dad's Point of View, on KZSB AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.
Will you still